Open up to Acts chapter 10. The title of this talk is One But Many. One But Many. And another kind of title could have been Difference, Similarity, you know. We'll just go through a few scriptures. One But Many. And Acts chapter 10. It's a great chapter. I've only recently read it again, where Cornelius, an Italian, so therefore what was considered a Gentile back then, foreigners to the promises of God, he's had a regard for God. He prayed to God always, and he gave donations to the synagogue and so forth, and so God could see his heart, even though he was not an Israelite. He was considered a Gentile, and it's a wonderful story where Simon Peter was humbled. I guess he had obviously the right mindset under the old law to distance himself from the Gentiles and just stick with the Jews, the Israelites. But God showed him that, hey, look. Whatever God cleanses, do not call unclean or common. And then Peter, with quite a few other spirit-filled Jews, went to Cornelius' household. And what's important in verse 24, it says Cornelius called his kinsmen and near friends. So there was quite a gathering in this house. On the one side, Cornelius and all his mates and relatives. And on the other side, we've got Peter and other spirit-filled people that that went with him. And then Peter stands up and explains, you know, in his mind, it's all coming together now. It's coming together, what he saw and what the Lord said, like whatever God's cleansed, do not call unclean. And he's here in this position, and it's all coming together as Peter obviously looks to the Holy Ghost for guidance. And he's preaching to the Gentiles. And verse 44 says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, right? Now, Peter can see now that these people are speaking in tongues, and he's making the connection. Whatever God's cleansed, I mustn't call unclean. So God's cleansed them, filled them with the Holy Ghost, and he can see and hear them speaking in tongues. And he goes, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. You know, they want to learn more. They want to discover more about this wonderful experience of being with God. So I'll just turn the... And basically fellowship and opening the scriptures. And at this point, you've got to remember, they only had the Old Testament. They didn't have the New Testament. And so there was plenty of information in the Old Testament and prophecies about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 11 and verse 1. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God, or they were preached to. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended, or they argued with him, saying, thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and didst eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, and a certain vessel descend as it had been a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. Upon the which, when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. So one but many, difference. So in the mindset of the Jews, which is a carry-on from the Old Testament, there was a difference. There was the Jews and there were the Gentiles. And the Jews were not to mix with the Gentiles. And then they still had that mindset and they argued with Peter. But when Peter explained everything, went through the whole process and explained to them his experience and explained to them that, hey, they were also filled with the Holy Ghost. As on us at the beginning, they had the same experience. They spoke in tongues, as we read at the end of chapter 10. And then that verse that's repeated six times in the New Testament in verse 16, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. It's so important. It's repeated six times. Now, when they heard that, these people that had this mindset of difference, and they understood that, hey, God had cleansed them. They glorified God. Wow, praise the Lord. This wonderful experience that I'm experiencing now, there's no limit. You know, it's open to everyone, regardless of their background. And they glorify God. And they could see the potential that, hey, there are many, but we've become one. And we're unified together in the kingdom of God. Acts chapter 15. And verse 1. Acts chapter 15 and verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. So the Jews that were in Jerusalem, they're seeing this amazing revival through the Gentile peoples. And they're seeing this wonderful thing, but then they still have the mindset of difference. And they're saying, look, these people must be circumcised and also follow the law of Moses. Verse 2, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. We've got to sort this out. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. Hearing about the revival, and when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed. Okay, so these were Pharisees, but were baptized by full immersion, and they also received the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. They believed. They are part of the kingdom of God. That it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing, again, more arguing, you know, about this thing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth, and we read that in Acts chapter 10, should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? So Peter recognised that this yoke, i.e. the Old Testament law, his fathers couldn't bear it and he couldn't bear it, always falling short. So why tempt these so-called Gentiles to carry that same burden that we couldn't carry? Verse 11, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Okay? One, we'll be saved, they'll be saved. That difference, it says there's no difference between us and them. Verse 12, then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles. Then after that, they realised, no, he's right. You know, there's a wonderful thing happening here, putting it all into perspective, and it all makes sense, simplifying it. And then naturally flows on to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. And here these words could also be said to those Pharisees that went up from Judea in Acts chapter 15. So Galatians chapter 3, it says, O foolish Galatians, O foolish Pharisees, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Those first Gentiles in Acts chapter 10, they didn't receive the Holy Ghost by doing the law, following the law. It was hearing of faith. By the hearing of faith, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke in tongues. Verse 3, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Don't you get it? You know, perfection comes from the Spirit. We all know and we all understand there's imperfection in the flesh. So how is it that we lean on the flesh so much? Verse 4, verse 24. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed, or Abraham's children, getting the inheritance that was given to Abraham, and heirs according to the promise. You know, that's that inheritance thing. So there's no difference now. We're all one. There's neither Jew or Gentile, enslaved or free, and even there's neither male or female. See, even that difference, you know, that's it, because the reason there's neither male nor female, that difference is carnal, right? And so this is the point we've got to realize, is unity comes through the Spirit. Anything, when you look to the flesh, equals difference, okay? We behold someone, boy or girl, you know, that's immediate difference. But you look at the Spirit and we're all the same. We're all equal. We're all one, but we're many. Of course, the kingdom of God is made up of Jews and Gentiles, those that were enslaved or those that were free, and those that male or female. But through the Spirit, we're all unified. We're all one. So one, but many. And all inheritors of Abraham's promises. Ephesians chapter 2. And verse 12. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. that at that time you were without Christ. So here we go. We start looking at the pivotal time, right? So there was a time before when we were without Christ. So when we were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So before, when we were without Christ, there was a glaring difference, okay? So we are one but many, but before we received the Holy Spirit, we were different. And that's a wonderful aspect of Diana's testimony, that she knew she was different before receiving the Holy Spirit. But after receiving the Holy Spirit, you knew you were part of it, part of the kingdom of God. So that's, like I said, an important point of difference, referring to that pivotal moment. Once upon a time, we were aliens and strangers and having no hope. Verse 13. But now, okay, now, today, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So the blood of Christ is what allowed us to be one but many. Down to verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Okay, that Spirit. Now therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. Okay? We are one with the saints. We're not one with those that are alien to the kingdom of God and of the household of God. John chapter 4. So yes, we are now one but many, but we're also different because we've got the Spirit. John chapter 4 and verse 4. John chapter 4, we'll do a bit of reading here to put it all into context. John chapter 4 and verse 4. And he, being Jesus Christ, must needs go through Samaria. Excuse me. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, or about 12 noon. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? So she knew the difference. She knew the attitude of the Jews toward the Samaritans. For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence, then, hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. There is an hour that comes where there'll be no difference. That difference will be taken away. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And it makes sense. I've even spoken to people who don't believe God, or contrary-wise, they believe there is no God. And it's logical. Even when I've asked them, even though you don't believe in God, surely you can understand that if there is a God, he's a spirit. Yeah, that makes sense. God's a spirit. And so therefore, if God is looking for a people to worship him, they need the Spirit. You know, reinforcing the difference in that way, that with the Spirit and without the Spirit, that's where the difference is now. The difference is with Spirit, without Spirit. If you've got the Spirit, we're all the same. We're all one but many, and worshipping him in spirit and in truth. You've got a whole new life ahead of you. You know, where you follow the ordinances of the Lord, what God has commanded us to do. Matthew chapter 22. And verse 23. Matthew 22. And verse 23. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Thinking in the natural sense here. But Jesus takes the carpet from under their feet, and he just says plainly in verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. You know, do not err. Understand the scriptures. Understand the power of God. Understand the intent of God. Verse 30, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Okay? And we read before in John chapter 4, he'll give us rivers of living water. We'll be the living. You know, he's not the God of the dead, that stuff that stays on the ground. And we understand when we die in the natural, our body just rots and becomes compost. And that's what God's trying to show, is like he's the God of the living. He's the God of that living aspect of our life, not the bit that rots, not the bit that we call flesh, but he's the God of the spiritual thing that goes on forever. And this marriage aspect that that the Pharisees were erring about was looking at the natural thing, natural marriage. But what God wants us to look at is the spiritual marriage. Okay, and what's the spiritual marriage? Jesus Christ comes back for his bride, which is the whole church, the whole spirit-filled church. As we read in John chapter 4, those he's looking for that walk in spirit and in truth, that make up the whole church, his one bride. So the unity in that bride, although made up of many. And look, marriage is honourable. It's a wonderful thing. It's designed by God. Marriage has been designed by God for a reason. For us to grasp and understand what it is that Jesus is coming back for. Coming back for his bride. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. and verse 10. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. So the peace of God, which rules in our hearts. Oh, sorry, I just thought I heard a radio. Is that a radio or? Never mind. Okay, let's. Okay, yeah, entertain the children. No, it's all right. No worries. It's all right. Carry on. Now, yep, trying to calm Shay down. That's good. So the bond of perfectness, that bond that maintains the one but many, and that it equals peace of God ruling in our hearts, and we can then be called one body because we're at peace. We're at peace with each other, and we have that that charity, which is the bond of perfectness, keeping it together, and realizing that, hey, God has created this thing that we call one, even though it's made up of many. 1 Corinthians chapter 12.1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, okay, one but many, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ, or the body of Christ. Okay, so there's a what's in the body is a shadow of spiritual things. Learn and understand this. Verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has pleased him. And if they are all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, or the eye cannot despise the hand. The eye, the person who is doing that thing in the kingdom of God, which is called the eye, cannot despise the person who's doing that thing which is called the hand, because they're not an eye. You know, we all have different abilities given by God, by Christ. I have no need of, no, it says further in verse 22, nay, no way. Much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honourable, upon these we bestow more abundant honour, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness or necessity. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honour to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. for one member, or if one member be honoured, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And it was great to hear the testimony as well. You know, we come together and pray. You know, we pray when one member suffers. We pray. You know, we come together and pray for that person. And then when someone's honoured or good things happen, we all rejoice and praise the Lord for it. You know, what a wonderful thing, God working in people's lives. So we all have different abilities given by God. You know, it's not, we can't elevate ourselves. You know, we have abilities given by God in all humility. And so we do things, but we can't despise others because they're not doing what we're doing. Okay, that creates a difference. Okay, there's no difference in the kingdom of God. We are one, but we're many, and we're all important. Whatsoever God has cleansed, let us not call unclean. Different. Okay? It's an important aspect, and when you seek the Lord and grow in the things of the Lord, you know, I have this this saying. It's a natural saying, but like we have our par view in the Lord. Okay, what the Lord anointed us with, what we do well, because the Lord is guiding us, and we stick with our par view. If we start doing things that we're not so good at, we can mess it up. You know, and so someone else who's really good at that, their par view, they're doing great. That's awesome. And that creates respect and unity in the body of Christ. And in the body of Christ, difference is miraculously unified with a purpose. Penultimate scripture, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body. That's the body of Christ. There's one Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. There's one Lord. You know, there's not many lords. There are in the world, there are many so-called religions that follow different gods. You know, but there's one. And there's one Spirit that leads you to that that Lord. One faith and one baptism. There's not multiple versions of baptism. There's one. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Okay, it all comes from God, all comes from Christ, that gift that comes from him. Finish up 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. First Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. Which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. You know, and that baptism, yes, okay, there's one baptism, one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, but it clearly says here it's an answer of a good conscience toward God, and conscience is inside. You know, the desire of the heart, the conscience. We don't put away the filth of the flesh, i.e. that which creates difference. We still carry that around. But the Lord encourages us to look at spiritual things, look at the unity. We are many, and it's so vitally important that we're many. So we fit in to the body of Christ. We can't all be an eye or a knee. We can't all, we have to have that those many aspects in the body of Christ. but spiritually we're all one. We're all equal before the living God. Okay, thank you.